put a few little, well, I found this guy on LinkedIn that I used to work for. Hopefully he'll get back with me. He's with Cap One Bank that's doing mortgages.
Uh-huh.
I'm wondering something like a Cap One Bank, because they're, yeah, MasterCard, Visa kind of thing. I don't know. I don't know much about this Basel III. Have you read anything on it?
Well, I'll pull something up now that I'm in the right computer. Basel III compliant means that it has to be, instead of fiat currency, it has to be hard-backed currency. So not necessarily Basel III regulations. Here you go. Not necessarily gold and silver, although that's one of them, but precious metals or actual commodities like oil or those kinds of things. So, in other words, it has to be substantively backed.
It's Pete.
Hey, Pete. Substantively Hi. Backed by something.
Something real.
Yeah, instead of, you know, just numbers on a screen. So, right here, a conversation on regulatory reform. Let's see. Oh, it's a paper they want me to sign up for. Okay, let's see. I mean, that's the gist of it. Okay, Basel III overview. Let's see what this one goes. Hi. I suppose I should pay attention to this. Instead of looking up the definition of Basel III, maybe some smart person just jumped online. Okay, this is a test for those of you who just we need a definition of Basel III. No takers,
well, Basel
huh?
III is supposedly backed by, I don't know if it's just hard metals, but probably
yeah.
oil and whatnot too. But
yeah, that's what we were talking about. We were just trying to see if I could find a
definition.
Definition, yeah. Okay. Basel III, or the Third Basel Accord, is a global voluntary regulatory standard on bank capital adequacy, stress testing, and market liquidity risk. So it's just blah, blah, blah. Okay, that was a new coat of paint on the old pig there. It talks about capital requirements. I'll put this. You can just go to Wikipedia, and it's a wiki, Basel_III. But it talks about capital requirements, leverage ratio, and so on and so forth. Again, it's if you picture it, I think a good way to have a gist of it, just like there used to be Fort Knox, right?
Hi, it's Amy.
Hey, Amy. You used to have, you know, you used to have the vision in the U.S. anyways of Fort Knox. Having a whole pile of gold, you know, and that was there so that people could, you know, it backed up what it was. It's that kind of thing. It's been so long since we've been anywhere near that with the old silver standard. But maybe tell everybody, Kelly, where the thread of, since you and I jumped on first, where the thread of that conversation was.
Well, just, you know, during the talks yesterday, I just walked away from that feeling that we weren't reaching high enough. And because we are birthing this, and it is... it just hasn't got down even to the senior private bankers, if that's what you want to call them, as somebody that's high up. They just haven't gotten a memo yet. I truly believe that from talking to the people that we did speak to yesterday. And even the fact that they were very clueless on anything to do with who they really are. So I think if we're going to continue spending our time, because it is time-consuming, which is good, we're all doing this together and learning, but... and bringing it out there. But we need to reach high. We need to either talk to the president of Wells Fargo or any president we can find, board of directors, those kind of things. We can actually, what would be a good thing for the board of directors is to put a letter together and let's just email it to as many board of directors as we can get it to, because it's going to hit their pocketbook. And,
can you get your phone call?
Excuse me? Anyway, so that's just what I was thinking, that we're really just going to have to move this. You're going to have to start off.
If you guys are having background conversations, you're going to need to mute yourself, okay?
I agree with you, Kelly. I think board of directors is a great target. It's Holly.
Yeah, and I'll just add what I talked to Kelly about in a separate phone conversation we had. I was having a conversation with Chris Hales last night. He gave me a call, and we were chatting, and he was saying similar thing that, you know, based on the research that he and Scott Bartle have been doing in Australia and what they've been going through, he said he thought we were on the right approach with energetically going together and having the conversations for our own edification and bankers' edification on what's what and what we're doing. But he also thought that going up higher as vis-a-vis a board of directors, mostly because of a control thing as it related to accepting the documents. Now, when you get to a smaller, so he and I played with this a little bit. So when you get to a smaller bank, like I'll use in Washington State, Whidbey Island Bank, which is it's a small regional bank. And as far as, you know, all the banking things, it has a lot of assets that back it and so on and so forth. But you could probably fairly easily find all the board directors, and they would be, as he said, you know, they would be local dentist or whatever, and so that they would have a vested interest. One of my thinking was that I like that idea, although it's probably a sure bet that those particular board of directors haven't got a clue about any of the rabbit holes or the ultimate rabbit hole. I could be wrong, but that's just my sense. At least consciously, they don't have a clue. I think that everybody right now with the energies, subconsciously, their own inner knowing has this clue. So it may be that going to do that, we could try one of those, but also going, as you said, Kelly, to, and I've just got to look at the link here, I have saved the link that has all of the Wells Fargo Board of Directors listed. I don't remember in the link that I had whether it actually has their emails as well.
I don't think it included the emails, but I think there's a main phone number. I'll look at it again.
Yeah, it's not. It's one I had from before, so I'm going to go into my save folders. But anyway, so that was just my. That's just my 2 cents on that.
Well, I think we call John Stump and the president of Wells Fargo and just ask him what is in place for us to be able, if we want to set up an account through Wells Fargo to deposit our value, what are the steps? I mean, just bluntly come out there and say it, because he's in the know and you know he is.
Okay, say that again. There was a lot of noise
dropping
on the
out.
Line. Say that again.
I believe that we need to call the president of Wells Fargo, John Stump, and you might want to be the one to talk to you because I'm going to be too blunt. But
oh yeah, I'm real subtle, Kelly.
You know, give it up. You know, but anyway, and just basically ask him, you know, we are willing to contract or we're willing to take our value in accounts at Wells Fargo. What are the steps to go about doing that?
Mm-hmm.
If you know, he knows. I mean, there's not any game plan with him. We don't have to step around. He knows.
Okay, did you, I put the link to the, into the BWWE We Room for the Wells Fargo Board of Directors that I found, and it lists each one of them. It lists each one of them directly with another link. So I'm not sure, you know, it may give more information. I haven't clicked on those other links yet. I just did want to put the main link in the Bui Room. That makes sense. So I think let's, if people have got their fingers, put your mute button on while you're typing and go do some research. And, you know, while we're on the call, and we'll get some phone numbers in the strategy and maybe use either the phone call in combination with the, like we did yesterday, to put together that letter that we'll send them. How's that sound for a plan?
Well, there you are.
You're on the group call now. So now.
Oh. Does
that sound good to everybody?
Yeah.
So let's just start quick before we do that, so everybody can kind of, we can feel each other's energy. If you just quickly go around the room, say hi, say your name, and then unless you're speaking or you have a quiet background, go ahead and mute after you do that.
Well, I'll just step in there and say I'm Joyce Paulson from Boise, Iowa, and I'm tickled pink to be here.
Hi, this is Ada.
Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Rebecca.
Let me do it this way. So, Kelly, you go next. I'll just go down the list that you're on the board that I can see. Kelly, go next.
Hey, everybody. This is Kelly.
Can you just speak up a wee bit more?
You couldn't hear me?
Yeah, now I could. The last time I could.
Okay. Hey, everybody. This is Kelly from North Carolina.
There you go. Cool. And who's the 306 area code? Nobody? I can see on the line, but it doesn't have a name next to it. You want to say hi if your area code is 306? Okay. Well, I'd love to have you at least say hi, even if you're not going to say a lot. Otherwise, I don't think this is really energy for that scope of lurking. And if you can't say hi, then type into the room. Well, you don't have a mic or something. But anyways, 706, Rebecca.
Hi, this is Rebecca from Georgia.
And tell us, just remind people, Rebecca, about your foray into the playing with bankers?
I had visited several banks. They all happen to be the HSBC group. I do have a personal friend who is a personal banker at Wells Fargo, so she's given me a lot of insight on possibly who to talk to and what to say. She was really, she had some great insight into the COV. She said that it looks exactly like what the investment bankers use after a loan is created, that they create a certificate like that, and that's what they sell. So she was like, wow, where did you get this? So that was real encouraging. So, I'm just ready to get started. I really don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. I think that's what we're here to do, and we're the gold and silver, so we can do it.
There you go. Cool. Holly, 561, I think you're next.
Yep, Holly Tucker from South Florida.
And there's 505.
Hi, Mary Bellier from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Welcome. And 617. Hey, that's Boston area.
It is Boston. This is Amy Brumacombe, and I am in Boston.
Yeah, I used to be an East Coaster.
Oh, really? Well, we'll have to talk about that.
Just down the road from you on the vineyard.
Okay, oh, I was just at the vineyard recently.
Yeah. 813?
Hello, this is Justin in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Hey, Justin.
And I've actually already had a conversation with my bank when I originally opened my Regions account. I didn't bring any documents or anything, but I just tried to gauge, you know, what I was going to be working with and whatnot there. And so.
So in a moment, when we're finished with everybody on the call, just go let us in on that, okay? On, you know, what the
sure
conversation
thing
was. All right. Alex, Valerie, actually. Are you there? From Australia? In the middle of the night? 575?
Apparently she fell asleep.
Great. How you doing? And then 949. No, 949 doesn't want to come say hi. Take yourself off mute. Okay. Yeah.
Did you notice that Alex and Valerie are there without a mic?
Did they put that in the room?
Yes. I'm looking at it right now without a mic. That says, no, we're here.
Okay, cool. Great. Cool. Hi. I have to open that window. So, Justin, why don't you share what you came up with, and then maybe Rebecca can share a little bit more with what more details about what you came up with, and then we can all come up with a plan, and then that may be a start of creating a letter that's going to go, you know, a multiple-pronged approach, creating a letter that goes to the boards of directors, and then also some bank conversations.
All righty. Well, I'll just go ahead and jump in here. The conversation that I had was actually was about 3 weeks ago at this point. I was just going in to create a bank account just for my own personal use, but I wanted to, as a kind of an exercise, just to see for myself, because I'd never actually tried to do this, so I wanted to do this, you know, for an energetic type of a thing, but also kind of gauge what the opposing side, you know, where their knowledge level was, what type of information they were going to be working with. And I just asked some very basic questions, like, do you know about the foreclosure of banks and governments? He did not. I was actually speaking to the bank manager, by the way.
And this was which bank, Justin?
This is Regions, which is a bank here in Florida. I believe it's a national bank, but... So in any event, I asked them, had they heard about this? They didn't. I asked them, you know, okay, well, where do you think the funds come from to fund your loans? He had no idea. He said, well, we get it from the reserves. And he kind of gave me this wishy-washy answer. So I said, well, what reserves? What reserves are you talking about? And he says, well, you know, like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. So clearly he had absolutely no knowledge of where the loans actually that loan process. And I had mentioned to him that basically covering everything that the banks and governments have been foreclosed for deceptive acts and practices, I described to him where the funds for loans actually come from, whereby the bank takes your loan application, converts that loan application as a cash deposit with a discount, and then they'll loan you that money back to you. He did not dispute what I was saying, but he didn't really confirm it either. He was just kind of listening to me. And then when I left the table, I had told him that I was probably going to be coming back in some time here with some documentation to try to make a deposit of my value based on the UCC filing. And he kind of acknowledged what I was saying, but he gave me the usual response, which is, oh, okay, yeah, well, you know, when that happens, it'll happen. But, didn't really give me a lot of assurance that he was taking me seriously. So that was my experience. I have not gone back to him with any additional documents, although I'm probably going to go to see him specifically on Friday. And that's pretty much it.
Cool. Yeah, that seems to be a common story, whether they're either genuinely clueless and they, you know, just followed the piece of paper And they never, their brain is such that it never occurred to them to think, well, you mean we don't have a big stack of money in the back room that we
right.
you know, work on. So, yeah, or they're hiding it. Would you say it was the first one or the second one?
I think I'm a pretty good judge of character. I can tell when people are lying to me and whatnot. And I think he honestly had no idea. He was very young. I actually think I was older. I'm only 31, but I'm pretty sure he was in his late 20s. And it didn't seem like he was really aware of anything. Now, I don't know from a training standpoint how much training they give these managers. They probably are very compartmentalized. So, you know.
They give them basically none, except for the standard test that the bankers have to take every year, and it's pretty much a joke. Yeah.
Right.
So there's a learning curve here. Do we want to hold their hands as we? As they go around the learning curve, do we want to send them, you know, materials that try to educate them?
Just from my personal experience, I think educating anybody is going to be helpful. Mm-hmm. Am I going to be able to go to the bank on Friday with a stack of papers and he's going to accept my DOV afterwards? I don't know, but. The fact that we're educating him, if we can convert him, this is kind of the way I think about it, if we can recruit this person to where, hey, you know, you can do this, kind of like what Bob was doing with the VP he spoke to, you know, if we can get somebody's buy-in at a personal level, then now that we've recruited them and they have a lot more, you know, because they're an insider now, more power to try to get us either to the right people or maybe use the right paperwork, et cetera, to push us through correctly.
Right. Right. And I think that as far as the education process, again, this isn't just my perspective, if you go in with that yes, you're educating them, but nonetheless, it's not a question mark in your own heart and mind. You are the value. This is what you're looking to do, just like as if you would take, you know, your sack of money down to any other bank and or, you know, check or whatever instrument you have, right? And that you're happy to educate them a wee bit along the way, but if they're not the right one to play with, then you can play with someone else. In other words, you're interviewing them for the job of being the actual person with the keystrokes in the banking chain to help you create and do what you want to do, rather than them interviewing you as a potential nutcase.
Right. Yeah, we're not groveling to the bankers. They should be groveling for us.
You bet. So. Yeah, and if you frame that in the, you know, in the most expansive energy way possible, that's really the truth of it. And that journey of each individual person making that shift within themselves is part of the events leading up to, you know, what we're all talking about. Rebecca, you want to share some of what your other insights were? Yeah.
Well, when I spoke to the lady at Wells Fargo, the person I know, I gave her all of Bob's documents, and she felt like that the way it flowed, whether you use, you know, his exact wording or not, but the documents that he showed. She felt like that was enough. She felt like that it told exactly who you are. And then if for some reason someone had a question with that, you know, and didn't quite understand the being and doing, then it had all the reference with the UCC filings, and it also that correlated with the numbers on the COV, and it was all there. And then the only thing that she felt like that could possibly assist with it is putting a copy of the Pope's letter in it. The fact that, you know, this person, that you're giving these documents to is now can be held liable for themselves and can't stand behind the corporation. So if they don't do their due diligence, then they're held personally liable. And I kind of felt like that was, you know, if we're all adults here and we're standing in our power, and yes, we need to go in with a big heart and an understanding. However, the person who shows up in front of us needs to stand there too. And if they can't, they need to, and that documentation that Bob had also put in there was, you know, if you can't stand liable, I mean, if you can't stand one-on-one with me, then show me proof of why. And there's the educational piece right there, because then they're going to have to dig. So I kind of, you know, I don't know that I could, I've never had to be that hard person right there in front of somebody, but I could probably do it if I needed to. But I think that that's where, if we send the documentation ahead of time, and I'm going to get a name of an investment banker before I go on Friday, and I'm going to send the paperwork to them ahead of time because I don't want to waste somebody's time, and I don't want my time wasted, and I feel like that that's a great tool, because if we're going to be coaching or counseling with somebody or need more questions answered, or, you know, answering more questions, then this person can have that information ready. That's my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I really hope we can avoid is having to educate somebody about the slavery system, because that's an exhausting endeavor.
Yeah. And it shouldn't, so, we shouldn't have to do that anymore, because to me, let me tell you, every single person that I spoke to in those six banks that I went to, everybody knew.
They really knew?
Yes, they knew.
Did they know about the foreclosure and everything?
They did. And the few, like, there was one lady who didn't, but she was just a regional personal banker. She wasn't, you know, an investment banker. She wasn't a VP or anything like that. But she knew about the energetic accounting. She knew about, she even used the word repurpose. So she knew that there was something going on.
Can you back up? Tell me, who is she again?
Oh, she, let's see. I want to say it was the lady I talked to at Bank of America was the only one that didn't know.
Is there any reason why we can't, as a group, call one of those people who already knows, and we could, right in the moment, get more insights to move this ball, you know, way down the line?
We have to talk to insiders, or we're going to be spending a whole lot of time on our own learning curve.
Exactly.
Right. Now, I had two of the people. I'm going to have to do some digging, because once the accounts were closed, I just kind of trashed everything and figured I had to start over. So I have two cards of people that I talked to personally.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it in the – do you want me to give it to you again? I mean, I did put it in the room yesterday. I don't know if you got it.
Can you put it in the – put it in the – which room did you put it in? Put it in the room that's the smaller banking room, the one that we called yesterday, that little group call room.
I'm on an iPhone, so let me see if I can do that and not drop the call. Hold on a second. Okay, y'all keep talking, and I'll see if I can do it.
Okay. One of the thoughts that comes to mind when you were talking, Rebecca, and this whole education stuff, that's why I had the nudge to use my approach, which was to go in, set an appointment, talk to the highest person I could speak with, start the opening the account process, because I don't, it's possible, I'm not going to, you know, not take it if it happens, but I don't expect them to say yes and have the thing go through right that moment. So if I open the account and do it the way I normally do, the way that bankers are used to, and they say, what's your opening deposit, and I put that down, and just especially when you had your inside banker say, this looks exactly like what they use in their own system, right? Then the background information that I would give them in addition to what I had personalized for myself, that's where the learning curve can come forward.
Right. No, I agree. 'Cause I'm yes, I'm an educator, but in this instance, I don't want to have to do both. I don't want to have to stand in my power and educate you. I want to stand in my power.
Yeah, so if we stand in our power as we're, you know, we're going into open, we're giving them business. I mean, make no mistake about it. Everything's foreclosed. There is no real value for them to access. We're giving access to, we're giving them, because of the 10% discount, we're giving them access to true value, which they haven't had, you know, never mind themselves, but just in the arena of the banking thing. And so, yeah, I mean, we're a desirable customer coming into the bank. There, you know, if you came in, give the kind of stereotypical, so you've got a mink and the limousine drives up and someone walks in the bank and they're going to, you know, take out their gold pen and write a check for $500 million because they want to open an account, you think that they're going to be helpful with that? So, you know, it's this, it's a whole new world. It's not the same old game, but I think we need to have that certainty going in, and then any background or information like the Paradigm Report or some of the other things that they can read on their own time to get themselves up to speed to do their own due diligence is where the education piece comes in.
I agree. I can all agree.
Rebecca, I found the information that you put in the Skype in the banker's room, whatever it was, 2 or 3 days ago, explaining your trip to B of A and then the other two banks that you visited and then what happened. But
it's also on the website, too.
Oh, okay. Right. However, you were wondering, was there, you didn't put any, I'll keep looking.
I think she put it in the small room that we were all in yesterday. I'm going to go like, yep, it's right here.
Oh,
you gave me Debbie Williams, branch manager. So this is a lady that she, so tell us about Debbie Williams.
She is actually a person that I have known for probably 15 years. I've known her family. And she is the branch manager of one of the community banks here. It's actually called United Community Bank and Commerce. But she's always been in banking. And so when I went and approached her, I actually talked to a personal banker at her bank and gave the same story about, you know, inheriting a large sum of money, blah, blah, you know, that whole thing. And afterwards, I just ran into Debbie on my way out. And then we spoke for, gosh, hour and a half, 2 hours, just kind of catching up. But then we started talking about the banking. And I asked her, I flat out asked her, I said, so, are you aware of the foreclosures? And she says, you know, she just kind of dropped her eyes and she said, yes, I am. She said, you were actually, she said, and we went to church together for many years. So I know, you know, she wouldn't have sat there and lied to me kind of thing. And so, she dropped her eyes and she said yes, and then she was the one that told me that they were expecting a windfall of people in July, but something happened. And then we got to talk. She's the one that brought up the RV and, you know, those types of things. And so we got to talking about that, and then I told her about the, you know, the group of OPPT people, and we had that whole conversation. She was not aware of the OPPT, but she did know about the foreclosures. So she may not have known, you know, who did it and what was all going on, but she definitely knew that the banks and the corporations had been foreclosed on.
But she didn't use the word RV, right?
What?
She did not use the word RV. You're guessing that that might be the high-end deposit she was referring to?
No, no, no. She said that. She talked about
the RV. Oh, she did say the RV.
Yeah. She did talk about the RV. So she's well... You know, the only thing, I guess, my concern with her is because she is a small-town woman. You know, she's, I'd say she's in her 50s, easy. But with her being such a small-town person, I'm not sure if she would have had that same conversation with a stranger. If it had not been somebody that, you know, I had known for many years, if she had would have been that open. So I'm not really sure. I have gone back and forth with that.
Here's a question for you, Rebecca. How would this woman like to be the one that not only Right, you know where I'm all going. So put her bank on the map and her town on the map, and you know, is the one, because it's real value. It's not like, that's the other thing that I think a lot of people have trouble thinking. This is not some new airy-fairy woo-woo thing that some, you know, woman named Heather who's hanging out over in Morocco came up with. This is the actual way that banking has always been done. This is the way that Source, him, her, it's all self, devised how this works. It's just most of the whole process has been hidden from us. So exactly. What's your sense of knowing her in the conversation you had, of her being the groundbreaking one who changes everything? I mean, think what it would do as far as influx of value to help everybody grow, plus they can all have access to themselves.
The name Lois comes to mind.
What's that?
I said the name Lois comes to mind. It only takes one.
Yeah. Well, knowing Debbie and knowing her family background and her, you know, community works, all that kind of stuff, I can totally feel her doing something like that, because she gets the fact that we are God beings. You know, she uses she is from a Baptist upbringing, but she gets that, because the whole conversation we were talking about, that we were talking about Source and the silver and the gold, and she knew that. She got it. So
she knows she's the value.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She knows that. So
Go ahead.
Well, she's the one that I feel that would need all the documentation up front to kind of sit with it, because she's a prayerful kind of person. So before, you know, she's bombarded with something, I feel if she had all the information that she needed and knew that whether it's me or a group of people are going to talk to her at X date kind of thing, that it would give her time to pray, you know, time to get centered, to get, you know, whatever she needs in order to get all of her questions answered and to have enough information to where she's not going to feel landslided. You know, I don't think that she would. She has all the information, I believe she would not have a choice but to be transparent. I truly believe that.
We can back the tour in 10 minutes.
Would you be willing to set that up with her, and I can send her, you know, I can put together the packet, just change the thing that I did yesterday to Brenda Love, and then also can send her the certificate and all those kinds of things so she can actually see one. You know,
and also the Pope's letter.
And also to what?
The Pope's letter.
Yes, I can send her an email. I can try calling, but I'll definitely send her an email and call her. And then let her know that these documents are on the way. I'm not going to ask. I'm going to just tell her this is what I'm doing.
There you go.
And then set up an appointment for tomorrow. Does that sound good?
Yeah, that we can all, that would be a phone appointment that we can talk to her. That'd be great.
Okay.
And then, Rebecca, you and I can private message each other, and I'll get you all the documents that you need. Or you can let me know, and I'll just fax everything to her or email, however you want.
Yeah, I would rather, I don't have a computer, so I'm not going to be able to send it from my iPhone. So if you could send it, I will send her an email letting her know that it's coming.
Okay. So you and I will PM, about all the specifics on that.
Okay. Cool. Sounds good. Perfect. So does this time around 2 tomorrow, does that work for everybody to where we can set that up with her? And if not, like, what other time would work?
What time zone is Georgia's Central, right?
No, same as East Coast.
Yeah, then it seems let's defer to the more convenient for her.
Okay, I can do that.
Has anybody seen an annotated copy of the Pope's letter? It seems like I saw one.
Yeah, it's on the site.
Okay.
It has the press office, as it were, from the Vatican that
that's where it was.
In
okay.
more detail. Yep, it's on the blog, and I'll pull all that together for you, Rebecca.
Okay.